compete in the AFC North, you have to be willing to bloody your nose a little bit. This team is going to be built on toughness.
We're going to go out and get better every day.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, begins now.
Hey, Dog Pound, and welcome into our lovely studios here to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. And joining me now, as always, the man with his name on the marquee, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. Coach, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you. All right, let's talk real quickly about injury updates. Seems like some good news for you, at least on that front.
It is. Joe Hayden will return to practice. Tashawn Gibson is back. Craig Robertson came back at the end of last week and just wasn't quite ready, but he should be green light this week. So it's, you know, we got some other guys close. So it's nice to be hitting the stretch of two games in a short period of time and getting back healthy.
You feel pretty good about Josh McCown's availability for Sunday?
At this point, we do, but it's still, truly day to day, and we'll know a little bit more tomorrow. But he's made solid progress since the game.
All right, let's talk about this Rams game quickly. You said it was the best defensive half you've seen so far this year in the first half. What made that so effective, and then what changed in the second half?
Well, I just thought we limited the big plays in the first half. You know, they had a couple plays here and there, but our guys were keyed up and did some good things. We did real well in sudden change situations that, we turned the ball over and they ended up kicking going three and out and having to kick a field goal and very easily could have given up a touchdown there. So I thought our guys rose to the challenge. Second half, they hit us with some big plays, and that was unfortunate because I think a lot of the plays in the second half still we played at a high level.
Certainly a lot of toughness on display from your team on the offensive side of the ball. Josh McCown repeatedly took some big hits and got up, and Gary Barnage had the stitches there. Was that a game where you felt that there are things that can be built upon even though the offense didn't get into the end zone?
There are, and we did some good things. I thought Turbin tore off a nice run, and Gary, again, continued to play at a high level. The receivers did some good things, and just you look at our quarterbacks combined, I think we're 30 for 37 or 39, whatever it was, and had over 100 rating together. And there are some positives, but just a lot of it too. You look at it that hey, if we can't turn the ball over, we can't commit that many penalties, and that's a recipe for a disaster. You go on the road, you turn the ball over. You get a bunch of flags thrown against you, you're not going to be very successful.
All right, as we turn the page to another NFC West team, the Arizona Cardinals, you noted on Monday that there was going to be a week for kind of self-evaluation. What can you do more? What has been the biggest kind of findings in these evaluations?
Well, I think it's more personal, and the big part of it was challenging the position coaches to make sure that they communicated well with the players, especially coming out of the evaluation of the game, the grade sheets, and then kind of looking back and comparing those grade sheets to ones that we've of previous games, and making sure that if there are mistakes that are being made, we call them guys being repeat offenders.
Sure.
That those are things that we have to get cleaned up, and it's on the coach to identify it, and it's on the coach and the player together to come up with a plan and get it rectified.
Will there be any drastic shifts in terms of starting lineups or playing time as a result of this?
I don't see it. I don't see that. I think that it's a lot of little things. We certainly know that we've been close in a lot of our games, and I know sometimes it's a loser's lament. You can point to a handful of plays and say if this, if that, then we'd be here. But we know that we're close, and it's not. I don't think where we are calls for drastic measures, but it certainly calls for some subtle ones, and it's on us as coaches to identify them and act on it.
All right, as you see, you're wearing the nice Salute to Service gear. I am as well. It's available at ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app and the team shop, by the way. What does the Salute to Service game mean to you? Does it have special meaning?
It does. I don't have any direct military ties like I know, like Alex Mack and
sure.
Guys that have family members that are involved. But it's just something that's always, from a patriotic sense, has always meant a lot to me to know that here we are out there essentially playing, a kid's game, and so much gets put into it and big deal made about it. And here are servicemen and servicewomen that are putting their lives on the line on a daily basis so we can enjoy what we do. And that means a lot to me personally. I know it means a lot to Dee and to Jimmy and the organization in general, and that's why we handle this month the way that we do.
All right, let's take a look at this Arizona Cardinals team, and you look at their quarterback, their number one receiver, and their running back, and you think, what is this, 2008, 2009, Carson Palmer, Chris Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald. What does this team do so well on offense? After all, they lead the league in touchdowns.
Yeah, they're playing at a high level, and I think when you take that group of skill players and then put Bruce Arians' scheme and apply it there, you're going to get those types of results. I mean, they're way up there in yardage, and as you said, I think they're second in scoring, first in touchdowns, and they're executing at a high level. And I think it all starts with the quarterback. They're playing well around him, but I think he has found the fountain of youth a bit, and is finally gotten back healthy. You can see his arm strength has returned. He can still push the ball down the field. And that's a big part of their game is they'll kind of lull you to sleep, and then here come the vertical throws.
Defensively, you have some familiarity with this scheme. I know you talked about watching Arizona Cardinals tape preparing for Todd Bowles, and it's pretty much the same scheme there. What concerns you the most about this defense?
Well, I think the front seven is very stout. They do a good job setting edges. They're very active up front. I think Calais Campbell is one of the premier defensive tackles in the league. I know he's made a Pro Bowl or two, and it's well deserved. He's a guy that we're certainly very very mindful of. And then the secondary, starts with Patrick Peterson. He's got the ability to eliminate essentially one half of the field. He plays a lot of press coverage, which as we know, that's something we need to do a better job of going against is press, and hopefully do some things schematically to help out with that. But this is a group that they're aggressive, they play well together, and they're having the results.
Is this the most complete team you think you faced so far?
They're up there. I mean, you could probably make the argument about Denver. I mean, you would say that the Arizona's offense is playing at a much higher level than Denver's. But if you just look at it statistically, you'd probably have to agree with that statement. I think they're fourth in total. Total offense and total defense.
All right, Coach, we'll be back with more. We're going to go on the film with the guy you talked about earlier, Robert Turbin. We'll talk about that. And we'll go into hashtag Ask Pet, the phenomenon sweeping the nation. That's coming up when we return on the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford.
The Mike Pettine Interview, brought to you by Elk and Al.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. Time now for our PNC Bank film breakdown. And I caught up with Robert Turbin, who had a nice 22-yard run against the Rams. Robert, 2 weeks now here with the Browns. You've got to be on the field last week, 5 carries, 30 yards. You feel like you're starting to kind of get your feet wet here in this offense?
Yeah, definitely was happy to, get my feet wet in the game, get some more carries, and get a rhythm there in that second half and make some plays.
On Monday in his press conference, Mike Pettine said at halftime he went to John D. Filippo and said, I want to see more Robert Turbin. And we certainly saw that in that second half. Did they say anything to you at halftime about that?
They just told me I was going to go out there and start in the second half, and I was excited about the opportunity. So I wanted to help get a drive going for us.
Absolutely. And you did that right away, 22-yard run early in that second half. Talk a little bit about that play and how that developed.
Well, first of all, offensive line did a great job blocking those guys up front. Double team did a great job kind of getting the guys up front, releasing up to the linebackers. Fullback did a great job ISO blocking on the play side linebacker. And I just kind of followed him, recognized the safety rotation a little bit. The safety is kind of down to my left, to the opposite side of the play. And, sometimes you want to avoid going back that way because it leaves a free hitter. I saw a crease and I hit it and try to make play.
So it's got to be funny to put on a Browns uniform, right? And your first three games, two of them are going to be against the Rams and then the Arizona Cardinals. You're right back in the NFC West for you.
I know.
What do you know about this Arizona Cardinals defense? Because they're running the same system they did last year when Todd Bowles was still there.
Man, they're tough. They're tough. They're aggressive. Man, they're really stout up front. It's hard to run on these guys. They love to blitz. They're one of those teams that, hey, man, you play a lot of teams that play some pretty conservative defense. I wouldn't say the Cardinals are conservative at all. game planning for the Cardinals is like, you don't really know what's coming this week. They might dial up something different that they hadn't put on film before. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And that's what kind of makes them special defensively, because they got all these guys with great speed and they can mix it up and do all of these things while staying disciplined with the other guys, who aren't coming. Who are in coverage, and man, they're a special unit, and so we're going to have to really dot the I's and cross the T's this week with what we're doing offensively.
Be very tight in your execution.
Absolutely.
Against this defense.
Absolutely.
Robert, thanks so much, and good luck on Sunday.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Coach saw Robert Turbin there talking about that 22-yard run. Talk about that play for a second. Seemed to be very well blocked and also good vision and acceleration through the hole from Turbin.
No, and that's what he brings. I mean, he got downhill quick, and all great backs have that vision where they can sense where it's going to open up and just kind of feel that open space and push into it.
So what was it about Robert Turbin that you saw that made you say when you went into halftime, as you noted on Monday, hey, I want to see more of this guy in the second half?
Just one. I thought we needed a spark that we hadn't had a ton of success offensively, especially running it. Crow had taken a shot early in the game, and Turbin was a guy that had done some good things for us the previous week, and wanted to see him get out there and see if he could provide a spark.
Is the plan going forward to use all three kind of in this system where they're kind of getting equal snaps, equal touches, or would you rather settle on one runner to complement Duke Johnson?
Yeah, that's a tough thing because we have three very capable backs. Duke certainly has that niche where he's we like him on third down and like him on early downs. He can still run inside or outside, and then we can get him outside to in the pass game where he's shown up. I think he had 7 catches a week ago. And then that's you kind of get into that feed the hot hand. So the downside of it is you have a guy that's potentially not getting into a rhythm. But the upside is you got guys out there with fresh legs and that are hungry to play and compete. So it's a fine line, and we have to walk it.
Do you have a preference? Would you rather have a guy getting 15 to 20 a week?
I just want to be productive. I don't know if I – to me, there's a lot of different ways to get it done. And whatever gives us more points than the other team on the scoreboard, sign me up.
Sign you up. All right, we'll all agree to that. All right, let's go with the hashtag AskPet. We'll start with number one. With the possibility of rain on Sunday, do you do anything different in the practice week to prepare for maybe those adverse conditions?
We do. The quarterbacks will have buckets of water out there periodically. I think it's every other week. They'll kind of get with the centers and work on handling snaps with a wet football. And they overdo it. I mean, the ball would never be that wet in a game. So, but it's good to kind of put those ankle weights on it.
All right. Our second one comes about the World Series. Do you have a pick in the World Series this year?
Do I have a pick?
Royals and Mets.
So I'm a little torn because I'm a lifelong Phillies fan. So it's like in my DNA to hate the Mets.
Absolutely.
So that's tough for me, but it's also makes me a National League guy. So I'm torn there. I don't know. I got some guys on the staff. Brian Angelico is a huge Mets fan. He's living and dying with every pitch. And Chris Tabor is a huge Royals fan. He's been wearing the playoff hoodie every chance. I don't think he's washed it yet, but every chance he gets. So I love playoff baseball. So that's one of the reasons. Anytime you get into these the one game playoffs and the division series and the chain, I could have zero interest in either team all year. I just love the pressure of playoff baseball. So it's something that I enjoy watching, and hopefully if you based just on last night, it's going to be a heck of a series.
Yeah, absolutely. Every pitch counts. That's when baseball gets very, very good. All right, finally, on game day, how do you determine the range for your kicker to try field goal attempts? Because I know you had talked about 2 weeks ago in
sure.
Cleveland, it was you wanted to get to the 30. And then in warm-ups in St. Louis, it looks like he was comfortably making them from 55 to 58.
Sure. That is a large function of how warm-ups go, and then I rely heavily on Chris Tabor. He'll get the feedback from Travis, and then he'll let me know. Hey, listen, if we're at home, hey, if we're going towards the dog pound, it's the 31-yard line, or it's the 32. Hey, if we need to stretch it, we can stretch it to the 35. Hey, going this direction, wind's a little bit different. It's the 28, or it's the 30. So that's something that. I'll also let Flip know if we get to a situation where, hey, I know it's third and long, but we only need 5 to get to the number, so he's aware of it. So that's information that flows very freely during the games.
And so far, he has not missed on the year, and hopefully that will continue this week against the Arizona Cardinals. And speaking of Travis Coons, he will join us next when we return on the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. Coach, good luck this weekend.
Great. Thank you.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. Happy to be joined now by Mr. Perfect himself, the kicker for your Cleveland Browns, Travis Kuhns. Travis, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. So here we are. We've now gone through seven games, still perfect on the season. I know that you're probably, some people were worried when we were dubbing you Mr. Perfect earlier that we jinxed you, but you still have gone on. How confident are you getting right now at this point in the season?
I trust what I do, and I mean, I go out there and practice. I make kicks during practice. Nothing changes when you go into the game.
How's it kind of been for you in Cleveland? This is your first season in the NFL. You hit the game winner against Baltimore. You know, we know you were at the Coach Penn radio show and you had a big crowd there. You had some ladies hot on your trail. But what's it kind of been like for you kind of going from, you know, trying to break in the league to now kind of cementing yourself and all that goes along with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a transition. Some things are different. Some things are exactly the same. I mean, I'm not doing anything different. I just go home after practice, watch TV, hang out, do whatever, hang out with Charlie, do whatever, go golf or something. I mean, but other than that, I mean, nothing else has really changed.
Do you get recognized around town a lot?
I don't really go out too much, like downtown, or I mean, if I'm doing anything, I'm walking around like Crocker Park or something.
Or hitting golf balls.
Yeah,
we got to do that one of these.
Yeah,
days. That's
definitely.
My sport. That's
yeah.
What I can do.
I know you can teach me some stuff.
Absolutely. All right, for those people who don't know, talk about your journey to the NFL as a kicker, because this isn't something that you necessarily set out to do when you went to play football in college.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I went to college to play safety or wide receiver. It was leaning a little more towards safety. But I wanted to do that. Kind of got stopped by playing soccer, tore some tendons in my ankle, and couldn't really cut and do everything I wanted to do. So I went over to kicking, did that for a while, and then
The rest is history.
Yeah.
So the kickers, I imagine, is kind of like a fraternity in the NFL. Do you talk to the kickers before every game? And you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know all the kickers yet. I'm still meeting them as we go because I mean it's my first year, so. But everyone I've met so far, I mean, super cool guys. So it's cool.
Do any of them know your story? Like, wait a minute, you went to college not even to be a kicker, and here you are kicking in the NFL?
I don't think so.
No? They'll probably be surprised, especially when you don't miss. You got to be fairly impressed with that. Let's talk about the length that you feel comfortable with. This isn't a coach talking. Yeah. What is the length that Travis Kuhns feels comfortable kicking a field goal?
I mean, I'm comfortable with 50. I've moved back 55. I mean, I'm so comfortable with it. You get a little past that. I mean, then it's a little iffy of what's gonna happen.
So would you get more excited? Like, you won the game in Baltimore,
yeah.
But it was a relatively short field goal.
Yeah.
If that was a 55 yarder, would that get your juices going?
Probably not. I mean, I got to put it through the uprights either way.
Yeah. But I was watching you, against the Rams, because so much was made in the game before the Rams game, the Broncos game. You know, we had to get to the 30-yard line.
Yeah.
I was watching you, and I know it's a dome versus outdoors, wind, et cetera, temperature, and all those things. But, yeah. I mean, you're going 55, no problem. And those looked like they would have been good from 60 easy to me.
Yeah. I mean, kicking in a dome or kicking outside, I mean, it's sometimes a huge difference. I mean, especially kicking out here, like with the wind and it being cold. And I mean, obviously the ball's not going to travel as far. So kicking in a dome is definitely a lot easier.
Do you like kicking, though, in front of the dog pound at First Energy Stadium?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Travis, we appreciate the time. Stay perfect, my friend. TFC, ladies and gentlemen, right here. When we come back, it'll be time for my final thoughts here on the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. Quick reminder, we've got you covered right here on News Channel 5 leading up to the kickoff against the Cardinals this Sunday. At 11 a.m., we're going inside the Cleveland Browns with Sarah Carnes and Matt Wilhelm filling in for Dustin Fox. And then at 11:30, it's Browns Countdown live from Dog Pound Drive as I join Andy Baskin, Mike Cairns, and Dave Zasadil for the best pregame show in town. And as always, Channel 5 is your official broadcast partner of the Cleveland Browns on air and online with special content you won't be able to get anywhere else. Also, the Cleveland Browns, United Healthcare, and University Hospitals are working together to improve the health and safety of young athletes through the Helmets program. Nominate your favorite Northeast Ohio high school for a chance to win new helmets. You can enter each week during the Browns season on ClevelandBrowns.com to increase the chances your school will win new helmets for the 2016 season. And as always, log on to ClevelandBrowns.com to vote for our high school football game of the week. So this Sunday, it's the 2-5 Browns against the 5-2 Arizona Cardinals. And when you look at this Cardinals offense, you might think to yourself, hey, what is this, 2009 Carson Palmer leading the NFL with 16 passing touchdowns. Chris Johnson, second in the NFL with almost 600 yards rushing. And Larry Fitzgerald, he already has 6 touchdowns on this young season. They also have John Brown, a very talented young receiver out of Pittsburgh State who's averaging over 100 yards a game in the last 4, and Michael Floyd, who has scored twice. This is a complete team, though. It's not just about the offense. They're number 4 in total offense, number 2 in scoring, number 1 in touchdowns on the season, but their defense is also number 4 in total defense. This is a big, big challenge for the Cleveland Browns. And if the Browns are going to get it done, they need to play turnover, mistake-free football on offense. They need to get a couple turnovers from the Arizona Cardinals. And they need to play fundamentally sound against the run. They cannot let Chris Johnson run wild on them. And that's a tough task when you're the 32nd ranked run defense. But they've got to find a way to shore that up this Sunday at First Energy Stadium if the Browns have any hope of winning. Clean up the penalties, win the turnover battle, and stop the run. And the Browns, who should get a nice shot in the arm from the returns of Joe Hayden and Tashaun Gibson on defense, could have a chance to pull off an upset over Arizona. That'll do it for today's edition of the Mike Pettine Coaches Show. We'll be back next week as we get ready in advance of the Thursday night game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Have a great night, everybody, and go Browns.
This was the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford.